Chapter 13. Dynamo. Miles had just said something that sounded important, but the sound of gunfire all around me made it impossible to hear his actual words. He would just have to repeat himself in a minute, since at the moment, I was a little bit too busy to ask him what he had said. The drug deal had barely gotten off the ground before both sides started to shoot at each other, so almost as soon as I had arrived at the shipyard, I had to spring out of the armored car and race into the fight. Of course, part of me just said that I should let them all shoot each other and then just sweep in afterward to make sure there were no survivors, but I knew that was mostly Miles's influence. I didn't have any desire to arrest these bastards and haul them off to prison, but I could at least see if they were working for a bigger authority before I killed them. There had been a string of high-profile drug cases recently, and I wanted to know if the maniac had anything to do with them, or if it was someone else entirely. It might not matter if Grayville went tits up in the maniac's planned gas attack, but if everybody survived until tomorrow morning, then it might be a nice tidbit of information to turn over to the police. Besides, even though there weren't any civilians around, there was still the possibility that some might show up, or that the fight would spill out and move to somewhere that innocent people might be put into danger. It would be much easier if I just controlled the fight myself, and since none of the assholes with guns looked like they had any kind of superpowers, I figured that I really ought to be able to handle them all by myself. But maybe I'd pull Miles after all, and I would just let a few of them take each other out first. After I got a running start, I jumped onto the top of one of the shipping containers. As the sounds of the gunfire continued from up ahead, I ran along the roof of the container and then jumped to the next one. When I reached the end of the next shipping container, I saw that both forces had essentially pinned each other down, so now no one could move in either direction without catching a bullet from their enemies. Several bodies were already on the ground, so it looked like there were only three survivors pinned down behind one SUV. Four survivors from the other group hid behind their pickup truck a few dozen yards away, but as I flexed my fist on top of the shipping container, I watched survivor number four pop out to try and get a shot off at the SUV group. Instead, he just got a bullet above his knee. He screamed and fell to the ground, but before his friends could pull him back to safety, the drug dealers behind the SUV opened fire at the exposed bastard until he finally fell still. Smoke hung low above the gravel of the shipyard from all of the fired guns, but for a moment it looked the way that I imagined the maniac's toxic gas would look when it was released, and I felt a brief stab of panic in my chest. I had a job to do, and that was to get the fucking maniac to notice me. "Hello, boys," I called when there was another pause in gunfire. "Did my invitation to your little party get lost in the mail?" As all six men turned to face me, I launched myself up into the air before they could recover from their surprise. A few of them started to point their guns toward me, but by then, it was too late. I crash-landed into the middle of the group, pinned down behind the SUV, and immediately grabbed one of them by his greasy mullet. Even as his companions tried to stumble back far enough to shoot me without shooting each other, I tightened my grip on the mullet and then just slammed his skull into the face of one of his friends. Their noses cracked against each other and instantly started to gush blood, but I was too fast for them to recover before I just crashed their skulls together again. This time, the man with the greasy mullet started to sink down in my grip, so I hoisted him up into the air with both arms and then threw him toward the pickup truck. A few gunshots rang out from the other party, but I guessed that they had finished my work with the mullet man for me, so I turned my attention back to the two assholes who were left. The man with the broken nose aimed a shaky gun at me, but by the time he was steady enough to pull the trigger, I had already moved. I hurled myself toward him, so the bullet sailed over my shoulder as I rammed my body into his torso. He stumbled backward until his head cracked against the window of the SUV, and then all I had to do was grip him by the shoulders and slam him into the glass a few more times before his eyes rolled into the back of his skull, and he collapsed to the ground. "Just you and me now," I said with a smile to the last asshole behind the SUV. He turned and tried to run. Of course, I could have told him that it was too late for that, but just a second later, he found that out for himself. The bastards hit him by the pickup truck had decided not to stay and finish the firefight after all, so all three of them had loaded up into the truck and started the engine. They rumbled over the gravel and slowly picked up speed, and their path took them exactly toward my fleeing target. They didn't even slow down, and instead their front bumper crashed into him hard enough to drop him to the ground, and then both front and back tires crunched over him until he looked a little like a deflated balloon. There were 3 less drug dealers in the world now, but 6 less drug dealers sounded even better. So I took off toward the pickup truck to stop them before they could get further away. When they saw me, they flipped their high beams on and stepped a little harder on the gas. But I just ran straight toward them like I was going to vault over the truck like some goddamn bullfighter. Instead, at the last second, I dropped into a crouch, picked up one of the bigger chunks of rock, and then hefted it toward the windshield straight at the driver's face. The rock might have fit into the palm of my hand, but based on the force that I put behind it, it immediately penetrated the glass and hit my target. I couldn't see exactly where the rock hit, but since the truck suddenly started to jerk back and forth, I guessed that it hit the driver right between the eyes. I rolled to the side out of the path of the pickup truck, but when I jumped back to my feet, the truck was headed straight for a shipping container. I raced after it, and just before I caught up to it, it started to slow down like one of the passengers had managed to get a foot on the brake. The front bumper only lightly tapped the shipping container rather than just smash right into it like I had hoped, but it at least caused the truck to come to a stop. There was a lot of movement and shouting inside the cab of the truck as I approached it, but no one managed to take the driver's seat by the time I reached the passenger door. I pulled on the door, and when I felt the lock resist me, I just yanked it harder until it broke loose and opened right on up for me. The man in the passenger seat tried to scramble away from me, but there was nowhere for him to go. So I just pulled him out, pinned him up against the side of the truck with my knee, and then used his skull as a punching bag until he died. Just as the last drug dealer raised his pistol toward me, I jumped into the cab of the truck and knocked it right out of his hand. He instantly shifted from trying to fight me to trying to get out of the truck, but I grabbed him by the collar, jerked him backward, and then locked him into a chokehold. "Oh, you weren't actually going to try and shoot me, were you? Don't you know who I am?"
Dynamo, please!
The man begged. I almost had a change of heart and decided to call the cops, but I knew that wasn't my mission tonight. Hell, the drug dealers weren't even my real mission. I was just supposed to cause a big enough scene that the maniac would figure out I was here since that psychopath was my real target. I didn't say anything. I just adjusted my hold on his neck until he stopped talking, so I knew that he couldn't breathe. I held my position until he went limp in my arms, and then there was just one thing left to do to make sure I got the maniac's attention. I pushed the man into the back seat, scooted the dead driver over, and wiggled my way into the driver's seat. As soon as I reversed the truck a dozen feet, I shifted it back into drive and started to drive toward the water's edge. The river was about 100 yards away, so I navigated around a few shipping containers until I found a clear path to the water. Then I slammed on the gas and got ready to jump the fuck out as soon as it was time. I waited until I was sure that the truck would keep going into the water, and then I scrambled back across the seat and jumped out of the open passenger door. I tucked my knees toward my chest and rolled when I hit the ground to protect myself from any real injuries. When I came out of my roll, I hopped back up to my feet and turned to watch just as the truck rolled forward into the river. It just floated there for a second, but as the water poured in through the open door, it slowly pulled the vehicle underwater until it completely disappeared under the surface with one final big-ass bubble. I put my hands on my hips and took a deep breath. That had been easier than I thought. But now the real question was whether or not the maniac had seen or heard me here. If not, I would have to find some other bad guys to beat up until he finally showed his pale, creepy face wherever I was. I turned to head back to the rest of the bodies where I had left them. It was dark and quiet enough now that the whole shipyard seemed almost like a fucking cemetery. Only instead of graves, there were huge shipping containers that could hide any number of enemies behind or even inside of them. I wanted to tell Miles that I'd been successful, just like I wanted to ask him to repeat whatever he'd said earlier, but first, I wanted just a minute of silence to see if I could hear any traces of the maniac nearby. The psychopathic supervillain did not disappoint. A soft cackle started up from somewhere up ahead of me, but it was so quiet that I decided to act like I hadn't heard it. I kept moving until I reached the dead drug dealers, and the moment I stopped beside the SUV, I heard a few muffled footsteps on the gravel behind one of the shipping containers around me.
Dynamo, are you there?
Miles asked.
Tell me what's happening.
I cleared the drug deal, I whispered as I reached up to scratch my head so I could hide the movement of my mouth. And I think he's coming, so I'm gonna go quiet.
Didn't you hear me earlier?
Miles demanded.
We figured out the maniac's plan. He's gonna use the choppers to release the gas.
Another soft footfall came from around the corner of one of the shipping containers, so I knelt down by one of the bodies and pretended to look at something so I could hide my mouth again and muffle my words. Too late. He's already here. Just hurry up and come kill the bastard.
We're on our way,
Miles said.
And Elizabeth, just hang in there.
Everything went silent, but I knew that Miles would still be able to hear whatever happened next. This was not exactly the plan, but I would just have to try to channel my billionaire boyfriend and improvise the best that I could. At least we knew how the maniac planned to release the gas. That meant Miles would find a way to try to take over the helicopters before they could actually release the toxic hallucinogen. But at the same time, he would be on his way to help me against the maniac. I briefly wondered how I would do in a one-to-one fight against the maniac, but I knew there wasn't much time to think about it now. I would try my best to kill him, especially now that we knew his plan involved all the helicopters above the city, but I was prepared for the fact that I might lose against him. And after all, even if that happened and this psychopath captured me, Miles had a tracker and an earpiece on me, so he would find me as soon as he reached the shipyard. And if the maniac did capture me, then I would just try to find out as much other information from him as I could until Miles and Eileen showed up. Like, if the choppers were definitely the only way that the maniac planned to release the gas into the city. I sure as shit didn't want him to have some secret backup plan that involved the sewers or anything else. Besides, he might even tell me which choppers contained the hallucinogen and which ones didn't. And even that little bit of information would help Miles stop the maniac's plan that much sooner. But who knew? Maybe I'd have better luck against the maniac than I thought, and I'd be able to kill him right here and now. Either way, the sooner we stopped him, the sooner the citizens of Grayville would be safe again. I stood up from where I had pretended to examine the body, and then glanced around like I just wanted to make sure there were no other drug dealers in the area. When I didn't see anybody or hear any other noises, I turned to head toward where I had left the armored car, and I started to wonder if I had just imagined the sound of laughter or footsteps that I had thought I'd heard. Even though I knew this was the plan, my heart suddenly started to pound like I had no idea what was about to happen. I knew that the maniac was here and that I hadn't just imagined things, but now that the shipyard had gone so quiet, I was beginning to doubt everything. Maybe he had somehow figured out our plan to bait him, so he had just decided to leave. Or maybe he had figured everything out and now just waited for me in the shadows, and at just the right moment he would kill me. Or worse, instead of just capturing me and waiting to brag about it to Miles. I forced myself to take one step after another as I moved back toward the armored car, but I had the very definite feeling that someone was watching me. Normally, I would have whirled around and charged into the shadows to see who was trying to sneak up on me, but I didn't want the maniac to think that I knew he was there. At least, not yet. As my heart pounded a little faster, I reached the door of the armored car and grasped the handle. I glanced around again like I had heard something, even though I definitely hadn't, but when nothing else stopped me, I just shrugged and pulled open the door. Before I could slide into the driver's seat, another little cackle sounded from the darkness, but now it came from close behind me. I tightened my right hand into a fist so I could start swinging as soon as I turned around, but then I heard the gravel crunch directly behind me. I whirled around, but the maniac was already right on top of me. Just as I saw the angular corners of his mouth turn up into a terrifying grin, smoke filled the air around us, and I felt half a second of panic before I remembered the gas mask on my face. But even though I didn't pass out from the gas, it hid Maniac from my view, so I had to duck and roll away from the car to try to find him.
Oh, lovely Dynamo!
The psychopath cackled from somewhere behind the smoke.
I like the face mask addition to your suit, but it won't help you.
I lunged toward the sound of his voice, but even though my reflexes were one of my strongest powers, the maniac had already moved by the time I dashed through the smoke. A soft footstep against the gravel behind me told me where he was, but then he grabbed my wrist and tried to twist it behind my back, so I just slammed my elbow back toward his face. He moved out of the way before I could hit him, but in order for him to dodge my elbow, he had to release his grip on my wrist. As I spun around to face him, I raised my knee to slam it into his stomach, but the supervillain just stepped to the side and then kept dodging one blow after another that I threw at him. I knew what his superpower was, but it was a whole different story to actually experience it in action. His ability to know what I was about to do made it impossible to land a solid hit on him, especially since all of his attention was on me. Maybe if there were other people around, he might have been distracted for half a second, and that would have been all the opening that I needed. Instead, it was just me and him. Maybe that was one of the reasons that the maniac had been so fond of the Shadow Knight. After all, Slade was so jealous and possessive of the psychopathic supervillain that he hardly ever let anyone else talk about the maniac, let alone actually fight him. I just had to hold out until Miles got here, and until then I needed to try to find out as much as I could from this asshole, so I could do everything in my power to save the citizens of Greyville. The maniac released another smoke bomb, and I stumbled back toward the armored car as I tried to blink through the thick fog. I hated smoke and mirrors, but it made sense that the maniac would use them against me. I would much rather face someone head-on in a fight with no tricks or secrets, just me versus them in a test of speed and strength. Then again, nobody ever said that the maniac played fair. Electric blue light crackled from somewhere in the middle of the smoke before it went dark again, but it had given me just enough light to see the maniac's pale, creepy grin behind all the smoke. Even though I couldn't tell exactly where he was now, I knew that the electric sparks had to be from a taser, and that meant I needed to move my ass. I dropped to my stomach beside the armored car and then rolled away underneath it in the wild hope that I would be able to get to the other side and sneak up on Maniac before he could react or try to use his taser on me. Of course, the supersuit that Miles had designed would protect me from the taser, but there was always the chance that this psychopath might be able to tase me somewhere on my exposed skin, or even worse, that an electric shock to the suit might fuck with the tracking device that Miles had sewn into it. Miles might have planned for that, just like he planned for everything, but since I hadn't actually asked him to make sure, I didn't want to take any chances. As soon as I finished rolling to the other side of the car, I jumped to my feet and ran forward a few steps like I might just flee the scene. When I was far enough away to get a running start, I pivoted around and dashed back toward the armored car to slide across the hood. The smoke evaporated just as I skidded across the hood, and for one glorious second, it looked like my boots would slam into the maniac's chest just like I wanted. But then, just before my heels rammed into him, the supervillain jumped out of the way and pointed his taser at me again. I felt an electric jolt shudder through my body so fast that I couldn't even tell where it had hit me at first. Instead, I just felt my body melt down to the gravel, just before a second wave of electricity shot through my muscles and made all my limbs feel like fucking jelly. I told myself that I just needed to stand up, and my regenerative powers would shake off the electric shock in just a few seconds, but every time I tried to push myself up, another blast of electricity hit me. Finally, I decided that this would just have to be my last stand. I had wanted to make our fight last a little longer, but since I had always planned for the maniac to capture me, it might as well be now. At least then I could save a little of my strength for later, because even though I knew that Miles and the others were on their way, I still had a feeling that I would need as much strength as I could get. After all, even when Miles showed up, we would still all have to fight the maniac together. I let myself lie still against the gravel so that the maniac would think I was either unconscious or that I had given up. The electric crackle of the taser stopped, but it took every ounce of willpower that I had not to fight back when I felt the supervillain kneel down beside me and tie my hands behind my back. His clammy little fingers pulled off my mask next, and then he gripped my hair and jerked me upward.
On your feet, Dynamo. I know you're not unconscious, but if you don't cooperate, I'll use one of my special new gases on you to make you a little more compliant.
Just give me a second, I said through gritted teeth. It feels like you just sent me to the electric chair.
Oh, it wasn't that bad. Oh, trust me when I say that you'll know when I send you to the electric chair.
He jerked back on my hair again, and this time I managed to push myself to my feet beside him. I stumbled along as he pushed me forward, and then I glanced over to see that the supervillain was fidgeting with something in his other hand. Half a second later, I found out what it was when he pulled a dark hood over my face so I couldn't see where we were headed. I took deep, even breaths to keep myself calm. But the only real thing that kept me from losing my goddamn shit was the knowledge that Miles was on his way. His tracking device would lead my billionaire boyfriend right to me, so it was okay that I didn't know where the maniac forced me to walk right now. I just needed to let this psychopath think that he was in control. So once he got me back to his hideout, he would start to brag and tell me all the details of his plan. Then once Miles showed up, we would kill this asshole together, stop the gas from being released, and save all the citizens of Grayville before the wardens could get here and fuck things up for us. It sounded easy, but the longer we walked, the more panicked my heart started to beat, until I felt like it would just throb its way out of my fucking chest.
Oh, there's no need to be so alarmed, dear Dynamo.
Maniac cackled after we had walked for easily 5 minutes.
I sense your panic, but there's no need for you to worry yourself quite yet.
That's comforting, but you'll forgive me if I don't exactly believe you. The supervillain suddenly pulled me to a halt, and then I heard him fumble with a set of keys before a creaky door opened in front of us. He pushed me forward again, closed the door, and then half-dragged and half-pushed me deeper inside the building until he shoved me down into a chair.
No, I mean it,
the maniac said as he grabbed each of my ankles and tied them to the legs of the chair.
Oh, you see, I won't touch you. Until Miles Nelson shows up to watch, so for the moment you have nothing to fear from me.
I couldn't believe that I was actually comforted by this psychopath's words, but since I could tell when people were lying, I knew that the maniac meant what he said. It wasn't exactly the most reassuring thing that I had ever heard, but it made me feel like I could relax just enough to try to get a better idea of my surroundings. I just needed to stay calm, so when Miles did get here, I would be ready to help him kill this bastard. I guess I should say thanks for that.
Huh? Oh. Oh, you can say whatever you want.
The maniac chuckled as he fidgeted with something behind my back now.
I'm just so delighted that you decided to show up and play my little game.
His clammy hands moved away from my wrists, and then a second later, he ripped the hood off my head so I could see the hideout where he had brought me. It was smaller than his usual abandoned warehouses, but since it was bigger than the inside of a shipping container, I knew that he hadn't just walked me in circles and then stuffed me inside one of the containers at the shipyard. There were only a handful of warehouses at the shipyard, so this had to be one of them. There were half-empty rows of metal shelves on every side of us, but I didn't see any stairs or second level to the warehouse. Instead, the shelves just seemed to go all the way up to the ceiling, and I wondered if that meant there was a forklift or something around here for people to get all the way up to the top shelves. When the maniac pulled up a chair to sit across from me, I forced myself to look at his sickly, pale face, even though the sight of his creepy grin was enough to turn my stomach. He leaned back in his chair and pulled out a phone, but just as he began to twirl it between his long fingers, he stopped. He tilted his head to the side like he wanted to check my restraints, and then he hopped to his feet, adjusted something behind my back, and returned to his chair across from me. That was when the beeping started.
Nope. We almost had a slight malfunction there, but not to worry. It's all right for now.
I craned my head over my shoulder to see what was beeping behind my back, and I immediately realized just how clever this psychopath really was. Of course, this motherfucker had me hooked up to a bomb. I took a deep breath and twisted back around to look at the maniac, while I hoped that Miles could hear the beeping and guess what it was. A bomb was bad, but when Miles got here, I knew that I could easily break free from my restraints and get away from the bomb before it exploded. At least as long as it wasn't packed with enough power to blow up the whole shipyard. I flexed my wrists behind my back just to test the strength of the restraints, but the moment I shifted in my chair, the maniac clicked his tongue and shook his head.
Oh, now, my sweet Dynamo, we can't have any of that. I've captured you, fair and square, and that means you're mine, until Miles shows up. Well, then you'll still be mine. Anyway, the point is, that there's no use trying to escape.
You know he'll kill you, right?
No, and I'm sure you'd love to kill me too. But you see, the thing about this lovely little bomb is that it's pressure sensitive. So if you move away from it, it will explode and blast that beautiful body of yours to fucking pieces.
Fuck.
So, if you're thinking about breaking free from that chair, I'd think again.
The more I told myself not to panic, the harder it became not to. I knew that Miles was only silent because he didn't want to do anything that would give away the fact that I could hear him, at least not until he was ready to make his move against the maniac. But it was hard not to just say, fuck it, break out of the chair and explode myself along with this psychopath. But that wouldn't do anything to help the citizens of Greyville, and as much as I didn't want to be a pawn that the maniac could use however he wanted, I trusted that Miles would be able to find a way around the bomb. Well, haven't you just thought of everything?
I do pride myself on having a plan.
The maniac replied with a wide grin.
And that's exactly why I plan to wait until Miles shows up before I touch you. I couldn't decide about it at first, you know?
Couldn't decide about what? I asked as I continued to scan the warehouse to try to get a clear layout in my head.
Whether to go ahead and kill you as soon as I captured you, or if I should wait and do it in front of Miles.
The maniac said with a shrug.
I would have recorded it if I did it right away, of course, so I could have played it back for him to watch later, but then...
Then what?
Then I would have also needed to capture Miles's other women. I decided it would be much easier if I just captured you and led Miles to me, so I could defeat him and then make him watch what I have planned for you.
I clenched my fists before I remembered to relax them so I didn't accidentally trigger the bomb that I was tied to.
Besides, he'll bring his other women with him to try to save you, won't he? Then it'll just be like taking candy from a baby. I only wonder who I should start with after I'm through with you. Perhaps that little airhead blondie who used to hang around the Shadow Knight. Or maybe that little mousy assistant of his. She seems a little boring, but after I'm through with her, she...
You're sick!
Oh. I prefer to think of myself as awake.
The supervillain said as he grinned at me with his pointed teeth.
Awake to the fact that there are only two types of people in the world. The gods, and the sacrifices to said gods. And I imagine you can guess which type I consider myself to be.
Don't pretend like you have any big grand vision for what you want the world to be. You're just a fucking psychopath who wants to torture and kill people. That doesn't make you interesting or special, it just makes
you... Do not tell me what I am!
The maniac screeched as he jumped to his feet.
If you want to see what I am, then I'll show you. But do not pretend that you know me.
Apparently, I had touched a nerve. The supervillain jumped forward, grabbed the back of my chair, and spun me around to face the back of the warehouse. I braced myself for the bomb to go off, but the maniac was careful when he set the chair back down, so the beeping just continued at the same rate as it had before. But now that I faced the back of the warehouse, I suddenly didn't give a shit about the bomb anymore. All I could think about was how to keep the contents of my stomach down at the sight in front of me. There was a long glass box on the floor at the back of the warehouse, and the glass must have been thick enough to keep the smell contained because inside the box there were half a dozen corpses in various stages of decay, and not one of them looked like they had gone peacefully. Two on the end had the skin on their faces clawed off, but it was impossible to tell if they had done it to themselves or each other. Another corpse looked like he had broken every limb in his body, and the others were a similar mix of torn skin and crushed bones. The floor of the glass box was slick with dark blood, and there was even half of a brain that had spilled out the back of someone's crushed skull and then gotten mashed underfoot from one of the other prisoners.
This, dearest Dynamo, is what I am.
The maniac said as he strode toward the glass box and then stroked it like it was a pet.
This. Well, this is art, wouldn't you say?
We must have different definitions of art, I said through gritted teeth.
Well, you don't like my little box of experiments? So, well, you're allowed to have your own opinion, of course. Although, I did think that you would like the one who broke all his own limbs when he tried to escape my cage for him.
Is this an example of what your toxic gas will do to people?
Just a small sample, but yeah. Impressive, isn't it?
And just how the fuck do you expect to make every person in the city inhale it? I asked and then held my breath. This was the moment of goddamn truth. He would either tell me his plan now or he wouldn't. And even though either way still meant that he would end up dead, it would be a lot easier to save Greyville if he talked now.
What a wonderful question.
The maniac said as he continued to brush his fingers against the glass box.
I suppose I might as well tell you, since we both know we're just waiting for Miles to come to your rescue at the moment.
I hoped Miles would wait long enough to hear the psychopath's plan before he busted into the warehouse with guns blazing.
The key is something that no one would be suspicious of. What's the one thing that everybody looks to for safety, Well, the military, dear Dynamo. No one would question a henchman in a convincing uniform, and in fact, they'd all throw themselves at him to try to save their asses, wouldn't they?
You mean the military choppers? Did you hijack all of them, not just the mayor's helicopter?
Precisely! Oh, the police choppers are too small for my purpose, but the National Guard helicopters? Whoa, those can really hold a lot of gas. And it was surprisingly easy to take over all of them.
I knew he was telling the truth, so I just hoped that Miles had heard that part, so he could adjust his plans if he needed to. So what? You'll just give the word to release the gas as soon as your timeline runs out?
Oh, sooner than that, I imagine. I mean, as soon as Miles shows up, I'll have to show you and his other women a good time, of course. But then, once I'm finished with you all, I'll set off the gas and let Miles watch as the whole city rips each other apart. And only then will I finally let him join in on the fun.
It sounds like you've got everything all planned out. It must be nice to feel so confident. The maniac turned toward one of the metal shelves to my right and then skipped over to grab something that I couldn't see. Won't you be bored when everyone in Greyville is dead? I demanded to bring his attention back to me.
So sorry, but someone wanted to say hello.
The supervillain said as he moved back in front of his glass box with something in his hands. It was almost impossible to tell what it was at first, but as the maniac moved toward me, I realized that it was a partial skull. The jawbone was mostly intact, but the skull itself was just a hollowed-out bowl with a handful of feathers that looked like they had melted into the bone.
Oh, you remember Dynamo, I'm sure.
The maniac told the skull, and then turned the skull to face me.
But does the lovely Dynamo remember you, Shadow Knight?
Holy shit. You...
What's that?
The maniac asked, and then held up the Shadow Knight's partial skull like it had just said something.
Oh. No. Oh, the Shadow Knight says that there's no chance that we'll be bored after we're done with Greyville. Oh. Oh, we'll just move on to some other town, some better town. More sacrifices for us. More meat for the stomach. More screams for my ears.
The maniac moved the Shadow Knight's jaw back and forth as he leaned his ear toward him, and after a few seconds, he let the jawbone go slack and turned to face me again.
Oh, the Shadow Knight says that we can just take our act on the road. Perhaps even to Miles Nelson's hometown. Wouldn't that be something?
What about the wardens?
Oh, yes. The wardens.
The maniac sighed and then tilted his head like the Shadow Knight's skull was speaking again.
They are pests, aren't they? Yes, I know. Well, perhaps we should take our little act somewhere else first for another practice round. And then Pinnacle City will be... It'll be my pinnacle. Ha 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 ha
The maniac cackled so hard that he doubled over, fumbled the Shadow Knight's partial skull, and only managed to catch it just before it hit the ground. He moved the jawbone back and forth, whispered something into the skull's empty cavity, and then laughed again, while I just watched silently. This asshole really was crazy. He might be a supervillain and a psychopath, but at the end of the day, he was really just another fucking unhinged bastard. Only he just so happened to hold the fate of an entire city in his hands. Hurry, Miles. Please, hurry.